Good morning, Western Wisconsin. Let's see what we're up to. I hope you're up for Spectrum West, because it's time for the arts, music, and culture program heard weekly, live Thursday mornings at 10 on the Ideas Network and repeated Friday evenings at 7 on the News and Classical Music Network in Western Wisconsin. Today, we're packed tighter than a Thanksgiving turkey. Speaking of Thanksgiving, it's a week from today, of course. We will not be here next Thursday, but there will be a show at 7 p.m. next Friday. And we're putting a special show together featuring some of the more famous people who've been here on Spectrum West. We'll pick a few and let you hear them again. Back to the stuffed turkey that is today's show. We're going to tell you about a 40-year tradition, the Tuba Christmas. It caught on in Menominee, and it's coming up. If you play a big horn, you should listen to this opportunity. Dr. Carol Rund calls in with the skinny. Comedian Mary Rawls is here, at least by phone. Funny person. She's at the Mabel Tainter tonight, Thursday night. It's fun to hear all about her career and her characters. Jim Oliver welcomes back Wayne Merrick, the spirit behind the Eau Claire Children's Theater, a hectic, hard-working place and people. Saturday is the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra's 2013 Christmas Stroll. It's the 15th annual. John Thorpe will join us with a look at what's on tap, literally, on this year's tour. And next Saturday, the 30th in Alma, they're taping the Big River Radio Wave Christmas Show, which will be heard statewide on WPR at 6 p.m. Christmas Eve. So you can be in the live audience and then a part of the Christmas Eve broadcast. The show's host, Mac Cherry, is the man with the plan. And when I called him at his home, he stepped into the bathroom to do the interview, which begins right now.
That's the excuse you use every time you go to the bathroom?
Yeah, that's right. I have to go do an interview.
Yeah, I'm going to be in there a while.
That's right. And if it sounds like I'm talking to myself...
You go in the bathroom for acoustics or what?
My son's here for a couple days, and we have three dogs. They could go off at any moment.
Well, the Wave gets a pretty prestigious place in the WPR stable, or maybe we should say manger.
Oh, I get it. It's the Christmas theme.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because it's going to be broadcast statewide on Christmas Eve. Now, that's, in my mind, a lot of weight on your shoulders. It's almost like playing Carnegie Hall.
Well, now that you I didn't think of it that way, and now the pressure is almost insurmountable.
You'll surmount it, though.
We will surmount it all together,
mm-hmm.
the entire ensemble. We're looking forward to the challenge and appreciate it, and I think we're going to meet the challenge.
That would be a good name for a night, Surmount, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it would be.
Well, I'm on the phone with you because I need to know what's on tap. Not literally, but I mean, who's going to be on the show?
Well, you know, Al, I'm concerned because I think we have too much entertainment. You know, too much entertainment for an hour. We have, of course, the house band, the Riverbenders, a terrific lineup of some original and some classic Christmas tunage.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of music, we have a very unique stylistic duet out of Winona, and they're called Ensemble Limousine, and they're French traditionalists.
Ooh.
They're going to bring some songs of the season. And if that weren't enough, though it would be, typically it would be more than enough,
yeah.
But we also have the Twin Cities comedian Amber Preston is going to be coming down to join us. She's hilarious. She's from Fargo, but don't hold that against her. Our old friend, the Last Riverette, Kenny Solway, will be there. And rumor has it, Santa might just actually show up as well.
I don't know. I've heard that he's extra busy this year.
Busy night.
No promises. I mean, I do have contact with him because I'm a broadcaster, so only people like us do have his email address. And I have a cell phone number, too. So I will try to find out for you, but, you know, there may be some surprises. Who knows?
Well, we're looking forward to it. And I know that the information I got, well, this was via you because you called in your Christmas list a while back. And
yeah.
I think you had mentioned when you did talk to him that he would maybe put off a little later start on Christmas Eve than usual would be coming to the Big River Radio.
Yeah. Although I hear that he's almost reinventing himself, possibly.
He went through rehab. Is that what you're talking about? Or... Oh, nobody's supposed to know that.
He's thinking of running for mayor of Toronto.
So. Aren't we all? That sounds like a kind of a fun gig.
It does. Know? Boy, the stuff they'll put up with.
Yeah.
You got carte blanche there, and that's French because that's Canada. Now, the taping is coming up for the show. In fact, I've determined that if you take a real long nap after Thanksgiving dinner, then get up, you can come right to the show.
You can go right there. Bring your stuff in with you, because we are going to be just 2 days after Thanksgiving. You could have Thanksgiving on Sunday after the show, because the show is going to be something worth giving thanks for, because we will be on Saturday. We'll be taping the show Saturday, November 30th at the Big River Theater in beautiful downtown Alma, Wisconsin. And you'd have two opportunities to go to the show, or you could go to both of them, one at 6 and one at 8 p.m.
And I don't think you should feel self-conscious about making a split-second decision and just coming to the theater in blaze orange.
Actually, I'll give you $2 off if you come in blaze orange.
Well, there you go.
I'll charge an extra 20 if you bring your deer in.
See, if we were entrepreneurs, we would have deer cleaning right out in front of the theater.
You didn't hear about that part.
I didn't. You're doing that?
Sure, yeah. You can actually, by the time if you drop your deer off after the show, you can get a pair of gloves.
Get out of here.
Well, I'm just saying.
And be assured that it's your deer, though.
Well, you know, the last time we did this promotion, it was quite an onslaught.
Yeah.
I don't mean that literally. But there were quite a few out there, so you can't be sure exactly whose deer is what. And you know, a doe is a deer, a female deer, but from there on, it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. And, hey, you know, I've been there before, and in years past, there hasn't been any mistletoe. Can we solve that this year?
You know, if you want to, I could probably... Well, first of all, we'll be decking the halls today, probably the next week or so.
All right, yeah.
And when we do that, I can floor-to-ceiling mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
So just about any place you go in that room, you're going to get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Good. That's what the Big River Radio Wave's all about. Mac Cherry, thanks for being with us on Spectrum West. Keep up the great work. Happy holidays to you.
That's... Al Ross, the same to you and more.
More? There's more? Always more when it's the Big River Radio Wave you're talking about. It's next Saturday, the 30th, Big River Theater in Alma, 6 or 8 p.m., or both, as Max said. Here's a montage from last year's holiday show. Welcome to the Big River Radio Wave.
Oh, there she is. Yeah, it's just like a Christmas miracle.
I was telling Santa earlier, you can get sushi in Fargo, you guys. I wouldn't, but you can.
What's your favorite holiday tradition?
Meat. Yes. I hope there aren't any. We don't have any vegans. Well, clap if you're a vegan. Well, they don't have the energy to clap. I guess that's shoot.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done? And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun.
So what do we have for these fancy and festive studio audience members, Nick?
2 50-yard line tickets to the next Minnesota Vikings Super Bowl appearance.
This is called Yuletide Evensong.
So I'll grab my old guitar and we'll strike up the band and play Yuletide Evensong.
Our next guest understands the gifts of winter. The stark beauty, the silence, the solitude. Say Merry Christmas to our old friend, the last river rat, Kenny Solway.
It was Christmas Eve, and it was on a small hill country farm about 5 miles out from the big Mississippi River.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know?
I'm going down to the river.
There they go. The website is BigRiverRadioWave.com. You'll find all the info you need there. Tickets by phone, and of course, I presume Santa's little helper, Shelley, will be at the door with tickets as well. Big River Radio Wave, taping next Saturday, the 30th, in Alma. This is Spectrum West.
Support for WPR comes from the University of Wisconsin-Barron County, a freshman-sophomore campus in Rice Lake, offering UW academic quality with a personal touch. On the web at barron.uwc.edu. Support also comes from Simply Done in Downsville, a place for gifts, ideas, and space. Home of Dunn County Pottery, featuring wood-fired pottery in a local and fair trade gallery. Details at simply-dunn.com. and from Wisconsin Credit Union, offering the Wisconsin mobile app in Android, iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch for checking balances, paying bills, and more. Mobile banking demo, app, and details at wisconsincu.org.
Spectrum West for a Thursday, the 21st day of November. Saturday, another seasonal tradition comes around again for the 15th time. It's for the benefit of an old friend, the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra, and your opportunity to visit some joyously decorated dwellings where the spirit of the season sparkles. The Friends of the Symphony sent over John Thorpe with the gift of information.
This is just a very important fundraising event for the symphony. Yeah. Ticket prices do not cover the cost of the symphony, and we're dependent upon other fundraising. And this is one of our two major fundraisers, the other one being the garden stroll in the spring. Mm-hmm. But this is our 15th annual Christmas stroll of homes decorated for the holidays. And we have a very interesting lineup this year we're very excited about.
It's actually become kind of a holiday tradition.
We're competing with deer hunting, but I think we compete very well on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Okay. Sure. Some people are taking a certain kind of stroll in blaze orange. You're doing a different one.
Yes.
And I notice it's not called a holiday sprint. It's called a Christmas stroll. So
now, this is going way back, but historically, apparently, originally the homes were located close together enough that people literally could stroll from home to home.
Ah.
And as it has developed, our homes are all more outreaching, so you would need to drive from home to home and from venue to venue to get there. We're calling it a stroll.
Strolling is a good mental picture.
It is. It's a, and it kind of evokes that era because once at each of the venues, we do have live music provided by various individuals and ensembles from the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra. So that kind of invokes that kind of a little bit slower and paced kind of enjoyment of the season. So this is a really a great way to kind of kick off the holiday season and get in the holiday spirit and perhaps pick up some decorating ideas you hadn't thought of before or be exposed to traditions that are new to you. I was exposed to a new one yesterday that I had not heard of before, and I thought it was just completely charming.
I'm curious about the planning that goes into this. I'm guessing you don't have to convince people to let others go through their house. Obviously, these are people who love decorating their homes.
Were it be that it were so easy, but it,
okay.
There is a fair amount of coercion that goes involved here. Coercion's not the right word. The people that come through are really appropriate to this event. So you really have kind of a select group of people. They know that they're going to come to each home. They know they're going to take their shoes off before they enter. They know they're going to be given a bag to keep their shoes in, and they put their shoes on the way out. So wear slip-on shoes if you're coming. Make your life easy.
And good socks.
Good socks. Some holiday good, socks. If
some
you
of the good ones.
Pick
yeah,
up some new Christmas socks and show them off.
Good
why
idea.
Not? Yeah,
sure.
Why not?
So now, see, the symphony could make money by selling holiday socks at the doors. In fact, you should have Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra socks made for next year.
Annual socks. Great idea. A nice place, if you're worried about where to start or a little bit puzzled by this, we always have kind of a hospitality center where there's kind of command central for us, where we sell tickets. We have many volunteers who make homemade cookies. So there's a wide variety of homemade cookies, delicious coffee provided by Gloria Jean's, and there'll be live music by various people from the symphony. It's at Lake Street Methodist Church. So if you want to buy your ticket there, or if midway you need to stop and have cookie and coffee, that's available to you. The tickets are $20, which is a donation to the symphony.
Yep.
I think it's the best bargain in entertainment around. The date is this Saturday, November 23rd.
Yes.
Coming right up, 1 to 6 p.m.
Okay, now before we get into all the details, I want to tell people who we're talking to.
Oh!
That's the voice of John Thorpe right there, and he represents, as he told me, a wing of the Friends of the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra. It's the 15th annual Christmas stroll, and as he just said, it is Saturday. So now, details. Where are we going?
One of them is actually not homes. That's a little unusual this year. Number one on the list, and by the way, you should visit them in any order.
Yes.
And this is a good example. Although it's number one on our list, it's a Kate Borchert Warner's home in Knollwood Trail, Altoona. She has, although it's number one on their list, she has rented a boom truck, and she has profoundly, if I have to guess, 20, 30 foot, 40 foot tall evergreens in front of her house. And she has completely covered three of them in white lights. So you may want to actually go in some reverse order and end up in the evening at
in
Kate's
the evening.
House.
Yeah, no kidding.
Kate's house has been on the stroll before. Kate never leaves well enough alone. She's constantly changing. She has gone toward Louis XV. She's abandoned Louis XIV and Louis XVI, and she's moved her Chinese Chippendale to a lower level. She has brought in more and more crystal chandeliers. When you walk in the door, it's an utter showstopper. The decorating this year is all glittery. It's basically the home is all white on white. The decoration is in gold and lemon and boxwood and cedar on the main floor. When you go to the lower level, that will be where she'd be rich in colors, and she's going to bring in the burgundies and the purples and the peacocks, reds, all together. It's just kind of amazing how she does it. It's always being made new, and it's just an amazing show-stopping house.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, this is very interesting for us. This is Jean Heike's apartment in Heatherwood. Jean Heike has just transitioned, or is in the process of transitioning, from her lovely, somewhat lavish country home in Mondovi and moving into Heatherwood, which is kind of next to the Eau Claire Dog Park, if you know where that is.
And kind of an assisted living place.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. But you will not think for a moment when you're in your apartment that you're in an assisted living place. Jean thinks of it as her townhouse, and I guess I do too. And she sees herself going back and forth between the two for a while, but having this available to her. I'm thinking she's getting very anxious to move in. But what people don't know, you are allowed to decorate to your taste in these units. We have replaced with custom window treatments. We've done some custom pleated shades. We have wallpapered two rooms. We've lavished the entire thing in paint color. And I'm saying we've, I'm kind of a family friend, and I'm an interior designer by background. So I've had somewhat of a hand in this, but it does not remotely look like an apartment. I think this is actually kind of a leadership on Jean's part to show us the way, because many of us either have parents that may have to consider assisted living, or we ourselves will end up there. You can see how wonderful and gracious and warm it can be to be there. I think it's really an inspiration. So I really encourage people to see this to show how good it can be.
Some places are the future of assisted living, and this sounds like one.
We try to import the feels, the textures, the colors, and the warmth of that home in Mondovi and bring it into that apartment. And it's amazing what we can do in a very small
sounds
apartment.
Like you succeeded.
Yes, yes.
What's next?
Next, we have a home on Timber Creek, Cork. That's Dr. Terry and Betty Benson. A lovely family home. What I love about this, they have two great things. When you come in the front door and you look to the right, they have a Christmas tradition in their family that I'd never heard of before. But on Christmas Eve, the kids have like a special Christmas bear. The boys had bears. The girls had a doll. And they each get a book wrapped. And on Christmas Eve, the kids take their bear or their doll and unwrap the book, and they sit and read it on Christmas Eve, and they do their gift opening on Christmas Day. Well, now the kids are all older and they have grandchildren, so the bears under the tree are for the grandchildren. But we're going to have the children's bears on display with a book to kind of get the idea of what that Christmas Eve looks like in there. They have a spectacular dining room that's a showstopper. You'll see that on the way out. And then when you get outside, their son has recently built a series of patios, and there's going to be a campfire out there, and weather permitting, may be some s'mores.
It's supposed to be chilly Saturday.
But if as long as it's not raining sideways.
Yes.
Yeah. I believe the sun is committed to be out there with a big campfire.
Chili's good for a campfire.
It is. Yeah. So I think it's you can kind of get the idea how warm and comfortable and relaxed this family home is. It's just really nice.
Sounds nice.
The next one, I'm very excited about this. The Stroll organization has been trying to get into the Boyd School to any of the units for a number of years, and it's a difficult thing to arrange. This year is the first time we've been able to, and we have an apartment, a condominium, loft, so this is very spacious, high ceilings. Compared to other lofts, if you have an industrial loft, the windows are kind of paired and there's a lot of wall. When you have a school that's been converted to loft, you have almost nonstop windows around the perimeter. Very spacious. Really, again, a rare, rare opportunity. Another one we're excited about is if you know the First Avenue, where the First Avenue converts to the Chippewa River Trail, where it becomes a walking trail.
Okay.
At that point, very near the West Grand Avenue Business District, there is a green Victorian home that was built in 1887.
Ooh.
I don't believe that, from what I can tell, this has ever been, people have been invited into the home, but never been kind of open to the general public. So this is a great family home. It is bright. It's airy. It feels younger than its years. They have chosen to kind of be brighter and cheerier, not as heavy Victorian. There's not like a lot of wallpapers and there's not a lot of drapery. So it's kind of a new and fresh take on Victorian living. You've got to save energy, get to the third floor. They call it an attic. I'd call it a family room. And what's really spectacular is they've recently restored the cupola, which apparently had been lost in fire some time past. And this cupola with its diagonal views downstream toward UWEC is just, the views are amazing. It's really fun to see.
Yeah.
And the last stop is actually not a home, but we have talked the Lazy Monk Brewery into opening a little earlier for us.
Took that in for the first time this summer. Loved it.
Isn't it amazing? Okay, so yeah, it's a business that's only been around for a couple of years, and they did open a small tap room that's open very limited hours. This April, they about tripled the size of the tap room, created kind of a very old world kind of German bohemian. They are Czech by history, but they have maps of Germany. So it's taking that area through southern Germany, Austria, Czech Republic, Slovak. They have created that idea of Rathaus kind of feeling. It looks like it's been there 100 years, and it's been there since April.
And it's deceiving if you look at the exterior of the building.
This is a huge secret, Eau Claire. One of our corporate sponsors is going to pay for a little tasting there. So bring your ticket in, and you can have a little taste on the symphony. You will be utterly charmed by Teresa, who holds court there.
I have been, yes.
Okay. And it, I think, is a real surprise, and I think our people are going to really enjoy knowing that it exists.
Well, thanks so much for the lineup and the rundown. It's Saturday from 1 to 6, reminding everyone, 15th Annual Christmas Stroll. It's sponsored by the Friends of the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra. That's John Thorpe. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I appreciate this.
So grab some friends, put yourself in the spirit of the holidays, snag some decorating ideas for where you live. There's also a holiday concert coming up from the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra in a trio of weeks, and we'll have that scoop right here on Spectrum West as well. Spectrum Memo, the UW River Falls Community Chorus, and the Faribault Lakelanders Barbershop Chorus present a collaborative concert at 3 p.m. Monday, Abbott Concert Hall of the Klein Pell Fine Arts Building in River Falls. You and I, the public, are invited. Saturday evening at 7, the Heide Center in Chippewa Falls presents a Blast from the Past flute concert with piano featuring well-known flutist or flautist Sandra Statz and Anne Kubiatowicz on piano. My apologies if I butchered that name. Next Saturday, two very talented Chicago-area singer-musicians come to the Heide. They call themselves Small Potatoes. They've been here before. Rich is one of the very best guitar players you're ever likely to see, and his wife Jackie plays several instruments. Both sing in very close harmony. Some of the most innovative songs I've ever heard and you'll ever hear. I'm a big fan, as you can tell. You will be too. Heide tickets at 726-9000 and at cvca.net. If you're listening on Thursday, there's a Thursdays at the U presentation at 12:30 today in the UW Barron County Blue Hills Lecture Hall in Rice Lake, featuring Wisconsin Poet Laureate Max Garland reading some poetry. Can't beat that. Well, this week's Oliver Report welcomes back a guest who's here every now and then simply because the place he represents is always engaged in some kind of theatrics. Mr. Oliver, you're on.
Aladdin is one of the tales included in the Arabian Nights, and it's a Middle Eastern story set in China. It's been made into a movie a number of times, including a 1992 animated Disney movie. A musical play based on the Disney film is being staged by the Eau Claire Children's Theater through Sunday at the State Theater in Eau Claire. Joining us is the director of Aladdin Jr. and executive director of the Children's Theater, Wayne Merrick. Well, Wayne, it's good to have you back on Spectrum West. Most of us have read the Aladdin story as children, at least. Actually, my favorite was Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. But anyway, refresh our memory on what happens with Aladdin.
Well, like you mentioned, it is based on the Disney movie, and that probably is, you know, these days probably what people will reference the most rather than the original books or whatever. But so it is based on the movie. So, you know, keeping that in mind, it is the story of Aladdin, you know, the street urchin who, you know, doesn't have any money, gets arrested for stealing some bread in the marketplace, gets thrown into a cave, finds the lamp, rubs the lamp, genie appears, grants him some wishes, becomes a prince, meets Princess Jasmine, drama ensues, but of course at the end, the boy gets the girl.
Well, that's and they all live happily ever after.
Yeah, just like a Disney movie.
Okay, great. Well, the movie was animated. This is human beings.
These are human beings,
so,
yes.
you want to talk a little bit about who some of the main actors are?
This will be the second time we've done the show. We did it back in 2006, I think. And we have a couple of repeat performers from that production. The genie is being played by Nathan Libby, who has been in a number of our performances. Mm-hmm. He's back as the genie. The gentleman playing Jafar, Dan Ekblad, was actually one of the guards last time we did the show, and now he's gotten a promotion to main evil guy. But it's a great cast, lots of adults, lots of kids, and that's when we were talking about the junior version of it. It is adults and kids, but it skews for a little bit younger audience. The show is maybe an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes long, and then plus an intermission. So it's perfect for families with younger audiences, but also has some topical humor, because when they adapt it, they, of course, put in a little bit of humor for the adults as well.
Uh-huh. So you said there's some stuff going on during the intermission that you wanted to talk about. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep, we actually have our annual holiday silent auction takes place every year during this show, the weekend before Thanksgiving. And each night or each performance, there will be a different set of items that the patrons can bid on. And it's not like you have to watch those items all weekend. There's a different set each performance. You bid on it through intermission, and the winners walk out with it at the end of the show. So it's been a very solid fundraiser for us. Because there's a lot of flying in this show with the genie and the magic carpet, we'll also be raffling off a chance to fly at the end of the show as well. It's something that we've done with Peter Pan performances as well. So, and that's always very popular for somebody to get the chance to go up and take a flight just like the genie.
You know, that raises a question. I was in one show once where they actually did fly one of the characters, and I thought it was fascinating. I didn't know if I wanted to do the fly. how does it work?
It's actually somewhat expensive. So even though this is a shorter show, it's actually kind of an expensive show to produce. Just because we are bringing in a flying company out of just south of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And they come in with the equipment and then train our people to do the flying. So the genie does fly. He does somersaults in the air, things like that. The carpet flies. So we really want to try to make it the best it can possibly be, not just the genie walks on stage or the carpet just kind of sits there and we pretend, quote unquote, that they're flying. We actually go all out, to the tune of about $5,000 to bring in a flying company. But it means extra rehearsals and things like that to get the performers comfortable doing their thing while they're flying.
That's a little scary, because I remember when we did it, it was just a bunch of amateurs doing it.
And it is. I mean, there is an element of danger to it. I mean, you're quite a ways up in the air, and if something was to happen, was to happen, that's quite a fall.
Well, talk a little bit about the music. It is a musical.
It is a musical. It does include songs from the movie, so people will recognize Prince Ali, A Friend Like Me, and then the ballad, A Whole New World. Those are probably the most popular songs from the movie. Of course, they've added some songs that were just done for the stage version as well. But the storyline follows the movie, and it includes those really popular songs from the movie.
Is there choreography too then?
Yep, there are a couple big production numbers. Mm-hmm. I think the centerpiece is really, the flying and the magic carpet and, the genie and things like that.
Do you have a choreographer and a musical director and all that stuff?
Yep, it is a full musical, even though it's called a junior. Mm-hmm. There are other shows that we've done too with recorded music. This one is done with recorded music, so not a live orchestra. There are no scores or anything like that. It is done with recorded music, but the junior is kind of a misnomer because it is certainly a full production, a cast of about 40 people, all the bells and whistles that would go along with a 2-hour musical.
He is Wayne Merrick, who is executive director of the Eau Claire Children's Theater and director of their current production of Aladdin Junior. Well, I hope I'm not making light of this, but anyway, it always seems like whenever we speak, I always talk about there's always something going on at the Children's Theater, and looking at your web page this past week or so, I've seen it's a
chock full of stuff. So you want to just start chronologically and see what happens.
There is always something. It's our 25th anniversary this season, and I think maybe it's even a little bit busier than usual. But Aladdin Jr. actually closes on Sunday the 24th, that same night. And the next night, we have auditions for two upcoming shows. One is a non-musical, The Hundred Dresses, which is based on a novel, more for the upper elementary, middle school grades. And then A Year with Frog and Toad is one of our more popular shows. This will be the third time we've done it. The two performers, lead performers, Lee Heike and Joel Breed, will be back reprising their roles as Frog and Toad. So those auditions are coming up. And then right after Thanksgiving, we're hosting some events. The Found Footage Festival will be held at the Oxford this year. The Eau Claire School of Dance has the recital on December 6th. And then on December 7th, we have our annual Gifted Holiday Marketplace in the building. And that night, we have our annual Star Quest competition finals, which leads right into the next day, which is the start of dress rehearsals for Scrooge, the musical.
Uh-huh. So that takes us...
Middle of December, within 2 weeks.
anything going on in January?
There's always something. Yeah, I think we do take a little bit of a break over the December holiday season, but the next show opens right away in January after the new year.
And what might that be?
That is The Hundred Dresses.
That's The Hundred Dresses.
Yep.
Okay. And, we can go for a while yet.
It's pretty much something almost every weekend, it seems like.
Well, I always tease you about, the season opens whenever you think it's going to open.
Yeah, it never really ends anymore. Yeah. It always kind of starts, but it just kind of keeps rolling. So.
Well, the show is Disney's Aladdin Jr. The director is Wayne Merrick, executive director of the Eau Claire Children's Theater. Disney's Aladdin plays through Sunday at the State Theater in Eau Claire. Show times are 7:30 with a 1:30 p.m. matinee on Saturday and a 1:30 p.m. only curtain on Sunday. Ticket information is available by calling 715-839-8877 or online at www.ecct.org. Wayne Merrick, thanks so much again for coming back to talk to us. Break a leg with the show.
Thank you.
Mr. Jim Oliver, weekly here on Spectrum West. Spectrum Memo Volume 1 brings back the Found Footage Festival to Eau Claire with a new show Sunday, December 1st. It's at the Oxford Theater. It's comedy and labeled as obscure audiovisual candy. I'm not sure of the time, but tickets can be purchased, and I'm sure there's more information at foundfootagefest.com and at the door. Retired UW Eau Claire clinical psychologist Dr. Catherine Schneider has released a memoir, The Joys and Trials of Aging Well with a Disability. It's called Occupying Aging, Delights, Disabilities, and Daily Life. The University Bookstore on the UWEC campus is hosting a book launch party at 4:30 p.m. today, Thursday. Kathy will be there to sign copies of the book. Other places to get it are at Amazon. They have the book in Kindle format and in Braille at AP, as in Paul, H.org. And through the publisher, dogearpublishing.net. Saturday, it's the Reason for the Season evening at the Northern Lake Center for the Arts in Amory. Favorite seasonal readings dramatized by members of the Northern Lakes Theater Guild, and that's at 7:30. Well, Mary Rolls is funny. She does stand-up comedy, so being funny, she's certainly in the right line of work. She brings that talent to the Mabel Tainter Center in Menominee this evening, if you're a Thursday listener, so you have time to get your tickets and treat yourself to some laughs. If you're catching this on the Friday repeat, well, we'll let you know next time she comes through Western Wisconsin. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't meet her. So let's do that. It's Mary Rolls on the phone. You can tell someone's age by whether they use the word comedian or comedienne.
Yeah.
I always like comedienne.
Maybe it's a little old school, but I just think it's more formal, and I personally feel it's kind of like a time from when, before I think it kind of got flooded with a lot of other kinds of talent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad because I'm going to call you a comedian.
Good. Thank you. I like that.
I wish I could do my French accent in it.
Yeah, comedian.
Oh.
I'll see. You'll see.
Do you have a French person in your act or don't you?
Well, I used to do a French person. Her name was Monica Monceau, mm-hmm. and she was ever so beautiful from France. And she was one of these people that was just so kind of like stuck up on her beauty. You know what I mean? She wasn't real bright, but, you know, just sold it with her beauty, and it was, I don't do it anymore.
In order to pull that off, did you take French?
Oh, God, no.
Because you had that nasally thing going.
No, I didn't, but what I would do is I would interpret a French song, and it was basically just like whatever, you know, I decided it would be, and it was really fun. It kind of showed her level of, or lack thereof, of her intelligence. So it was fun. Awesome.
Now, after seeing your act, or parts of it, on YouTube clips and stuff, I think the name Sybil would be more suitable.
It's been said.
Than Mary. Okay, good.
It's been said.
Yeah. How many characters do you do? Obviously, you have done more than you, and you have to sort of pick them for each show, or what?
Yeah, I have kind of my standards that I actually kind of have a following for.
Uh-huh.
And my all-time favorite is Butch Swanson, and he's the guy with the ski cap and that owns a pretty close to new bait and tackle store.
He's the guy that talks like this. Yeah.
He's got the lateral lisp.
I love that,
him.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that if you were riding a city bus and he got on, you'd go, oh, please don't sit next to me. Please don't. But if he did, you would have one of the best conversations ever because he's one of those pure hearts, genuine people. You know what I mean?
But is he a good listener? Would you have a good conversation with him, or would you just listen to him?
I think you'd just listen to him because you'd be so kind of entertained and fascinated. Well, and you'd have to listen hard because of the lateral lisp.
Name some of the other characters so that I can...
Aunt Helen, and I think everybody in the Midwest has an Aunt Helen. She's that one aunt that talks continually about things you don't want to know about,
mm-hmm. You
know? Very, very Midwestern. You know, it's she talks about the weather. She talks about her gout. She talks about her husband. And it's, God, yeah. And she's from the era where, do you remember, Al, when women used to wear, like, matching gloves, hats, purse, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, she's from that era. And my aunt, well, we call her Aunt Bunny, but her real name's Laverne.
Mm-hmm.
But Aunt Bunny, she gave me her hat and gloves and drew all this stuff. And it was like Aunt Helen just came alive,
sure.
You know?
I think you'll be able to tell that I am familiar with what you're talking about when I say that my two aunts' names were Flo and Leona.
See?
So there you go.
Exactly.
I've been
great
there.
Great name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I do a lot. Well, I used to do, like I say, Monica Monse.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did Joan Jenowick, who's a performance artist, I should say, but I don't do her anymore. I used to, because I need a bed to bounce on. that does not travel easily.
No.
And let's see. Then I do a waitress where I do actually a monologue and then I do a song parody. And that's a tribute to all of us who have ever put on the apron and have slung food.
Any of them based on real people you knew or no?
Let's see. All of them. Well, I actually found my Aunt Helen's voice in a little cafe in Two Harbors, Minnesota, which is up heading north past Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
And there were these two elderly ladies sitting in a booth having lunch at this little diner, and she just was talking about things that you really didn't want to listen to, but she was talking so loudly that you listened, you know what I mean? And then, of course, it's just, you know, dressing it and bringing in my own aunts and personality to that character. Butch Swanson, I grew up with a lateral lisp, and so he's kind of close to home, you know?
I didn't even know that it was called a lateral lisp.
Yeah,
that's
I think
pretty
it
cool.
is. I think it's called a lateral lisp.
Yeah.
And so he's just kind of this gentle guy, you know, mm-hmm. but kind of got laughed at because of his lisp. And waitress is I waited tables for time out of mind, putting myself through school, trying to get my career off the ground. And I worked in every kind of establishment from a greasy spoon all the way up to a 5-star French service tableside restaurant.
Ooh.
So they're all from the heart. And then I also do the PMS I Love You song, and that one was definitely definitely an original. I definitely had plenty of material on for that one.
Kind of an autobiography there.
Yeah.
I can picture you as a waitress.
And I actually liked it out. I really did. I'm a person that I don't do real well sitting still for a long time. I like to move, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved interacting most of the time. You know, with the patrons, and it was just, it was fun.
And I'll bet you were tipped well.
I was tipped very well. I was tipped well.
I've seen signs at some of the best and greasiest spoons where it labels their waitresses as sassy. I can see you as being a sassy waitress.
Sassy, yes. A sassy waitress with good service.
That's a word that doesn't get used very often
no.
anymore, sassy. The other word I found the other day that I don't see much is whimsy. I love whimsy.
Oh, my husband and I do every, okay, we're having his family over for Thanksgiving, and we usually have the Thanksgiving or the Christmas meal, and every single year we choose what will our whimsy be, and we have a little something.
Good for you. So I don't have to convince you to keep that word going. You're doing a great job perpetuating it. Good for you. On the phone, Mary Rolls, she's a comedian, and she's appearing at the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts. That's in Menominee, Wisconsin, and it's Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m. You sing, too. Are you just an armchair singer? Are you trained or what?
Actually, I'm trained. I was going to be a jazz singer, and I have an Associate of Art in Music Theory and Performance. I sang with the Minnesota Vocal Jazz Ensemble. I studied jazz. I love that music. I grew up in a very creative musical family. I studied voice with Leon Thurman, and I'm trying to think, I can't remember the institution right now, but I can hold my own when it comes to vocals.
You said you were in an institution?
Well, have you seen my demo?
That's not surprising to me. I've seen
yours. It's just a matter of time, Al.
So do you use your resemblance to Celine Dion to an advantage ever?
I really don't. I mean,
I would if I were you.
Yeah, but you know, and I like Celine, I really do. But it's kind of like one of those they love her or they hate her kind of deal, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I haven't really worked up anything to bring her forward in the light that she deserves.
Sure.
Yeah.
First time you made people laugh on stage, was that when the bug bit you? When was that?
Actually, I was in eighth grade, and it was our graduation class, and we were singing Born Free, and I stepped in front of the audience, and I said, Born Free, my uncle's a doctor. Isn't that sad? Isn't that just sad?
No, you didn't do that.
Okay, but I was in eighth grade, right? And then, actually, it didn't bite me until after I joined Dudley Riggs' Brave New Workshop, because I was doing vocals. I was singing, and I was running cabarets around the Twin Cities. But, Al, I had such nerves. I mean, my vibrato would be crazy. And so I joined Dudley Riggs, and I learned improv. Yeah. I went through their classes. And it was after that I went, oh, wow, I really like this. And so I went on to do improv for a couple of years and then started writing my own stuff, and things just kind of took off.
How much of what you do on stage today is improvisational?
A lot.
Is it?
I just love talking and interacting with the audience. You know, it's always something new.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love the part where you talk about having big feet. I thought that was kind of neat. So
yep.
We won't give that away. But.
You'll have to come and see.
Yes, we have them on
skis.
A toothpick of excitement. People are just waiting. Now, this program airs on Thursday, so I can say that you're going to be appearing at the Mabel Tainter tonight. The program's also repeated Friday evening, but by then you'll be gone from Menominee. So to folks listening to the Friday edition, what's coming up on your schedule? Where else are you going to be?
Well, I've got a couple of things on the books. I just finished with the Paradise Center in Faribault, which is a wonderful place, a wonderful theater. I'm going to be in St. Cloud, Spooner, Wisconsin, at Treasure Island Casino in Minnesota, down by Red Wing area.
Yeah.
We go into the holiday season, and I do a lot of corporate during this time, so not a lot of public stuff, but I'll be all over.
And I bet you the new year looks good for you, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think you're funny as heck.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
And talented, too. I mean, if I keep going, you'll think I'm just, you know, faking it, but I'm not. I'm not. Mary Rolls, thanks for being with us, and all the best. Happy holidays, and hope to meet you someday.
Thanks, Al. Thanks for having me on the show.
And if you're a Thursday listener, that's tonight, of course. Tickets at 235-0001 at the Mabel Tainter. And the website is mabeltainter.com. And I'm sure you can get them at the door. If you're listening Friday and you did not go, well, we'll keep you abreast of her whereabouts if and when she returns to our neighborhood. That is Mary Rolls.
Support for WPR comes from Mayo Clinic Health System, bringing Mayo Clinic care to communities throughout western Wisconsin, dedicated to providing high-quality health care close to home. Details are at mayoclinichealthsystem.org. Support also comes from The Forum at UW-Eau Claire, presenting historian James Lowen, author of Lies My Teacher Told Me, Everything Your American History Textbook Got Wrong. December 3rd at Schofield Auditorium. Details at uwec.edu/activities.
Thank you, ma'am. Spectrum West, Thursday, November 21st. Well, as we continue our trek into this year's holiday season, it actually feels like the 4th of July was just yesterday. We uncover reasons to celebrate we may not know existed. Turns out I'm in as dark a place as you might be, as Dr. Carol Rund was more than happy to explain. Of course, I'm aware of holiday traditions like eggnog and mistletoe and caroling, Tom and Jerry's, that kind of stuff, but I will admit in front of our vast Spectrum West audience that I had no idea. Tuba Christmas has been an American tradition for 40 years. Obviously, I've been living in a virtual cave. I'm sorry for that. I ask you to bring me up to speed.
All right. Well, like you say, this is the 40th year. It started in 1974, and December 22nd was actually the first one, and it was held in the ice rink at New York City's Rockefeller Center.
Ah, okay.
They had over 300 tuba and euphonium players that gathered to honor the memory of William Bell, who was a very famous tuba player, and he happened to be born on Christmas Day in 1902. They did this to celebrate his achievements as a performer and a teacher. It just took off from there, spread across the country and even into various parts of Europe. Now, there are over 200 cities throughout the United States and in several foreign countries that host these things each year.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing it in Menominee?
This is our second year.
You have one under your belt already. That's good. And, you know, the interesting thing is, in reading about it, this is kind of a smorgasbord. Anybody who plays the tuba, the sousaphone, the euphonium, or the baritone is welcome.
Absolutely, and age is not a limit. Players as young as 8 or 9 have been in it, and as old as 95.
Wow.
Last year, on our first attempt, which was very successful, our youngest player was 10, and our oldest was 88. And we had 44 members there, which is pretty good.
No kidding.
Considering the size of our community and the fact that in the Twin Cities, as big as they are, they had about 120 play there.
Ah. So how do people get involved? You have the opportunity to rehearse, albeit quickly, basically not something that people should get concerned about. It's just a fun thing to do, yes?
Absolutely. It's the music is not that difficult. We will be putting out a press release in the local paper and hopefully in the Eau Claire paper. And, of course, this program, mm-hmm. and the word of mouth is out there. We have sent out invitations to every school within a 50-mile radius, including the universities. So people are aware of this, and they know what the schedule is going to be and what they need to do. Basically, if you can play at any level, you're welcome to play with us, but just those four instruments that you mentioned. They can get a hold of the music booklet in advance if they go to the Tuba Christmas website, the National Tuba Christmas website, or we will have some available, too, and they can purchase them there.
Oh, so if you get it at the website, you print it?
No, they will mail it to you. Because of copyright laws, photocopies are not allowed, but they will send it to you.
Okay, so you are sending out a personal invitation to anyone out there playing those four big instruments to consider coming to play with you guys on Sunday the 1st.
Absolutely, and we have registration scheduled for 1:30 to 2:30. We have a rehearsal, which is mandatory, from 2:30 to 3:30, and at 4 o'clock we do the concert. It lasts roughly an hour. Mm-hmm. It is free. The registrants, people that play in it, are required to pay a $10 registration fee. And in return for that, they get a souvenir button.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun of doing this fantastic event.
And it's being held at Alliance Church in Menominee, and that's because it holds a good number of people.
Yes, last year we had it. Our first one was at the Mabel Tanner Theater, which was a beautiful place to host it, just a show place. But they only seat about 265 people.
Yeah.
And the stage is relatively small, and we did pack the theater, and we were concerned about seating, so we had to issue tickets and so forth. Tickets were free, but this year with a church that seats 550 people and a much larger stage area, we're not going to have a problem, and it will be just fine.
Great. Well, let's switch gears. You're wrapping up the 125th anniversary of the Ludington Guard Band. Quickly, special year, was it?
Just a fantastic year. So many firsts, and I think probably the high point of the season for most of us was the premiering of a special piece that we had commissioned for. It's called Legacy of Honor, that was written by Larry Clark, dedicated to the past directors, all the past directors whose leadership and dedication brought us through our 125th year.
Mm-hmm.
Just a fantastic piece. The audience loved it. In fact, we had that special birthday party on the 30th of July, and everybody loved it so much. We had such a long-standing ovation, we decided to repeat the piece the following week and did it again.
Yeah, good for you. What, again, is the designation of that band? I mean, you're the longest-running what?
The longest continually performing concert band in the state of Wisconsin.
Wow, that's impressive. So, all right, well, 126 is coming up, and good luck with that. 4 p.m. Sunday, December 1st. It's free at the Alliance Church. It's Tuba Christmas, Menominee 2013. Dr. Carol Rund, we appreciate you being with us on Spectrum West, and please keep in touch.
Will do. Thank you again.
Here's what's on stage in Western Wisconsin theater venues. Disney's Aladdin Jr. plays through Sunday at the State Theater in Eau Claire. The show is a production of the Eau Claire Children's Theater. The River Falls Community Theater will stage Once Upon a Mattress Friday and Saturday at the River Falls High School Auditorium. A Carol of a Christmas will play weekends and selected weekdays at Fanny Hill Dinner Theater in Eau Claire. The show runs through January 12th. White Christmas will play Fridays and Saturdays at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. The show will run through December 1st. The Eau Claire Children's Theater has scheduled auditions for Sunday and Monday at the Oxford Theater. Auditions for The Hundred Dresses are set for 5:30 p.m. and A Year with Frog and Toad at 7 p.m. And that's some of what's happening in live theater around the region. I'm Jim Oliver.
Thanks again. Here's some library stuff for you. Spectrum Memos. Children who are beginning to read easy chapter books are invited to join the My First Book Club at the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire, meeting next Saturday afternoon, November 30th, 1:30. You can give a kid a book during the 19th annual event at the L.E. Phillips Public Library in Eau Claire, December 2nd through the 19th. Bring a new unwrapped book to the library or to Charter Bank. A couple of other locations, too. Well, next week is Thanksgiving, of course, next Thursday, so I'll be doing what you'll be doing, eating and watching football, but I'll also be thinking about how fortunate I am to meet you here each Thursday morning to share conversations and music and poems and books and news of inspiring events. Makes for a great week each week for me. Thanks for making time to spend some time with the people and places we feature. So no show next Thursday. Friday on the News and Classical Music Network at 7, we're going to have some famous people called Famous Friday. So have a meaningful Thanksgiving. Count your blessings. I hope to get to spend the day with some of them.